Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q4 and FY 2026 earnings conference call hosted by Tamil Nadu Mercantile Bank Limited. This conference may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on date of this call. These statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. Today on the call, we have with us the following management representatives: Mr. Salil S. Nair, Managing Director; Mr. Vincent Venachery Divasi, Executive Director; Mr. Sanjay Kumar Goel, Chief Financial Officer. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Salil S. Nair, the Managing Director from Tamil Nadu Mercantile Bank. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah, thank you, and good evening to all of you. Today we have come out with our yearly results for FY 2026. Before I really get into that, I want to take you back to our con call after my quarter three results. That was in January of FY 2027, wherein we had given certain guidances. I would like you to look at those guidances that we have given. What we have stated in the con call in January after the Q3 FY 2026 results is that what we have stated is we will grow the CASA by 15% in quarter four. We have stated that the deposits growth will be in the 13%-13.5%. Advances growth will be in the 16%-17%. Total business would grow 15%+. Net interest margin will be 3.90%-3.95%. ROA will be 1.85%+, and ROE will be 14%+. GNPA will be less than 1%. That's the guidance we gave. In fact, we gave guidance for our quarter two and quarter one also, and you will recall that we have exceeded all the guidances, quarter one guidance, quarter two guidance, and I just stated the quarter three guidance. We will look at where we stand in respect to those guidances shortly. Coming back to the FY 2026, it has been a year of transformation for us, and it's something that I stated in FY 2025, at the close of FY 2025 itself, that we have unleashed a lot of transformation journeys, automation, technology infusion, structural changes, et cetera. That the impact of that will be felt in FY 2026, and more specifically, I stated that it will be felt more in the quarter two of FY 2026. Where do we stand when we close the year? Very clearly, we have been able to lay the foundation for growth. CASA share decline has been arrested and reversed. The quarter also saw the highest deposit growth in past 39 quarters, that is 10 years. It's the highest advance growth recorded in the past 40 quarters. Business growth, when we close the year, is 9.35% over the last 10-year CAGR, compounded annual growth rate. What we achieved in the last 10 years, FY 2026, we have grown 9.35% over that. That's the transformation that has been achieved. This all comes with the credit portfolio, where the quality continuously has improved. On-book PCR is at 10% high. Credit cost is under control. The lowest GNPA, again, in the last 40 years. Why I'm saying 40 years is because 40 quarters, sorry, not years, 40 quarters. Why I'm saying is the 40 quarters, our numbers are already available, and we see that it is the lowest in the last 40 quarters. It is the lowest ever SMA percentage. We'll come to those numbers a little later. Business, the presence, our footprint has also expanded. 44 branches we opened, 15 of them outside Tamil Nadu. The 12 CNCs were set up. the liability RMs were introduced, digital transformation is nearing completion. All these are are actions that happen in FY26. So what is the impact on the market? The shareholder value delivered has gone up 50% in the last 12 months. Market capitalization cost to 10,600 crores. The shareholder funds after the results is about 10,000 crores with a book value of 638. And the board also has declared or rather recommended a dividend of 125% for FY26. So now coming back to what I just stated earlier in my opening statement on the guidances, look at the guidance of CASA growth. We stated that we will go 15% plus FY26 and the growth eventually is 22.35%. CASA stands at 17,365 crores. That is a 22.35% year-on-year growth. Your total business is at 17.37%, and total business aggregates on 31st March 26 to 1,15,091 crores. And they're against our guidance for the year at 15%. So 17.37% achievement against our guidance of 15%. The deposits we stated will be in the 13 to 13.5%. We ended up with 14.94%. The advances, we said we would be in the 16 to 17%. We ended up with 20.32%. This 20.32% is also after selling up 1,000 crores to the IBP zero, the Interbank Participation Certificate. If we add that back, it is actually 22% plus. So this, the business, the strong business growth has also resulted in strong profitability parameters. The net interest income is up 24.04%. It's at 704.05 crores. Operating profit for the quarter was 29.29% year-on-year. Net profit is 373.65 crores, which is 28.01% year-on-year. ROA, where we had given a guidance of 1.85% plus, as is at actually 2.05%. And ROE, where we said it will be 14% plus, we have actually able to break the 15% mark, and it is at 15.03%. So all this growth that we have delivered in excess of the guidance we have given has come back on the strong business growth, particularly the advances growth. And all this are translating. Look at the CASA share that we have. CASA share, we had touched 26.44% on 31st of March 25. It is up 1.7% now to 28.14%. For the quarter, the net interest margin, 4.18%. The cost-to-income ratio is at 44.80%. Credit cost, I think, has largely been met by resolutions or the provision write-back. It stands at 0.01%. GNPA, as a consequence of the kind of efforts we have taken, is at 0.73%. And net NPA is at 0.18%. So, and the SMA, I am including SMA 0, 1 and 2, is at 1.29%. So this is down 1.26% from last year. So portfolio at risk one day is at 2.02%, which is SMA 0, 1, 2 and NPA together is only 2.02% of the advances portfolio. I think that, I wonder if any other bank has been able to get to that kind of a number in India. So the PCR, on-book PCR is 74.89%. That's a full 3.87% over last year, over 31st of March 25 number. And PCR with technical write-off is 96.14%. If I get into some of the granular details, deposits, current account, I mentioned the total deposit grew at 14.94%. The breakup is here. Current account has gone up 25.62%. We did a lot of initiatives here. The the TPG was brought in last year, and that has now begun to kick in, and 25.62% is the result. Savings bank again is 21.04%. That's a good story that we have to say. And the CASA overall is at 22.35%. Term deposits per se is, like I said, has grown 14.94%. So it is a growth strengthened across the quarters. In a quarter after quarter, we have been growing. The CASA has been moving up. The deposits have been growing. Every quarter, we have bettered the previous quarter's growth. So that's the story that PNB is putting on the table today. On the advances side, retail, agri, MSME and has all grown. In fact, on a year-on-year basis, retail, which is largely driven by the gold loan portfolio, is up 62.33. Agriculture, 8.03. MSME is another story that we have. MSME, if you recall, has been degrowing until as late as the first quarter of FY26. It has now turned around and has delivered a 14.88% growth YOY. So that's another story that we would like to see, and this story will get strengthened in FY27 as well. So overall, the advances have grown 20.32%. As I said, this advance growth of 20.32% is coming after we have sold off 1,000 crores of our portfolio through the IBPC route in Q4 of FY26. Now, if we take that also into account, the real advances growth is 22.57%. Again, the last 3-4 quarters, the advances have been consistently moving up. The growth every quarter is measuring the previous quarter. For the first time, we have also showcased the profitability. The ROA of our advanced portfolio, the retail advanced portfolio, the yield is at 9.98%, the NPA there is 0.13%, and the ROA is 2.21%. So this is a good portfolio with a very, very comfortable ROA at 2.21%. Agri advances, again riding on the gold loans, is at 2.04% ROA, where the NPA, thanks to the gold prices, is at just 0.16%. MSME, another big story, where we have a growth of 14.88, yield that is a good 10.52%, resulting in ROA of 2.58% on a portfolio basis. The gold loan portfolio is something that, you know, the gold prices are something that we watch 24/7, and the sensitivity, if you look at the slide number 14 of what we have sort of uploaded into the exchanges, our ability to withstand a gold price reduction is 25%. If there's a gold loan price reduction of up to 25% can easily be absorbed by our current portfolio. The portfolio LTV is just for 53.25% as from 31st of March 26. Portfolio yield is 10.11%, the good yield for a gold portfolio, and the gold gold loan share in the overall advances is 46.44%. And again, here, let me also tell you that the LTV is calculated not on the gross weight of the portfolio, but on the net weight. And the gross weight to net weight, you know, the difference is about 9.53%. So that also adds to the cushion which I mentioned earlier, that our ability to withstand a gold price reduction to 25% without causing a stress is enhanced by this, the gross weight to net weight, difference of 9.23%. We are also in the process of setting up asset resolution branches to manage the portfolio and the agri portfolio. Apart from, you know, the MSME stress, also to manage the portfolio LTV, margin calls and options of gold loan if and when there is a need. Incidentally, any breach of LTV up to 90% will trigger a margin call, and our counter action, including options, will kick in. And if you look at the portfolio risk for gold, It is just 12.31%, which is just about 5 basis of the overall gold loan portfolio. So, to summarize, the gold loan portfolio that we have is literally gold standard. Unsecured portfolio, we have stated in the last quarter as well that the previous quarter, this is a bank that has been lending on a secured basis. We have not been on the unsecured space at all, and the unsecured space is just 54 crores, which is about 10 basis point of our overall advance portfolio, practically negligible. On the export credit, I think West Asia crisis, we have our own exposure to the West Asian countries, it's just 50.95%, which is just 10 basis of our overall portfolio. So to that extent, it is limited, of course. If the war carries on, the impact on the indirect impact is something that we are making an assessment of. We certainly hope the government will step in with a package if the crisis continues. Finally, on the financial performance itself, as I said, the quarter performance interest income has been riding on core business. I think the core business revival, the growth of advances, touching 20% or rather including IPPC at 22%, has helped us, give a net profit number of 28.01% growth. And that's riding on interest income of 15.55%, non-interest income of 20.67%, and containing the expenditure at 11.58%. Let me also add here that, normally we give a performance-based incentive to our employees, and that is given for a year in the following year. For the first time, for FY25, we gave it in FY26, in quarter one of FY26. For the first time, we have made a break with that practice, and the PPI, the performance-based incentive for FY26, which has been computed at 49.80, we have accounted for in quarter four itself, or quarter four of FY26 itself. So the net profit that you are seeing here, 28.01, is after accounting for the PBI, 49.80. So remember, quarter one, we accounted for the PBI of FY25, and quarter four, we have accounted for the PBI of FY26. So two counts of PBI accounted for 1 year, and the net profit that we showcase today, 28.01%, is after accounting for this PBI of 49.80, which, like I said, ordinarily should have been taken up absorbed in FY27. If you normalize for that, the cost to income ratio is just about 39.54% for quarter four, and your operating profit you will see has jumped to 41.62%. So all these are translating into higher shareholder value. Our net worth of the capital and reserves have crossed 10,000 crores for the first time. Book value per share is 638. Earning per share is 23.60. And like I said earlier, ROA is, all this has impacted the ROA, which is crossed 2% for quarter four, and it's at 2.05%. And return on equity, of course, is again, has broken the 15% mark, and it is at 15.06%. And the balance sheet likewise has improved to 75.29.60. And the point is the 75,299 crores of balance sheet is today consists of more than 10,000 crores of capital, which points out to the resilience of the balance sheet itself. The fact that we have 30% of our balance sheet is actually funded by capital gives us the ability to take in a higher CD ratio. Going on to the asset quality, I think we have been known for maintaining a high level of asset quality, and that gets reflected in the quarter four results as well. Your GNPA is at 0.73%, NNPA at 0.18%. So today the net NPA that we hold is just about 97.41%, 97.41 crores. Provision cover on book, like I said earlier, is 74.89 and overall is 96.14%. Asset quality, consistent improvement across quarters. I think that is something we have showcased in the presentation that we have uploaded. Page number 23, and it is, like I said, is at 97.41. So this 97.41 of or the NPA number, which is 388.21, which is the gross NPA number. If I look at the gross NPA number of 388.21, which is 0.73%, which has a provision of 229.98 crores, which is a PCR of 74.89, is covered by collateral, average collateral of 127.52. So when we resolve these NPA, we are on 88.21, where we have provided 229. Much of what we have provided, 229.98 crores, we expect it to come back thanks to the collateral cover that the GNPA currently has. Slippage again is under control. I think and SMA, like I said earlier, is trending down. And today, 31st March 26, it is just 686 crores SMA. We are talking about SMA 1, SMA 0, SMA 1 and SMA 2. And all three combined is just 1.29%. This I did mention earlier that the par portfolio at risk one day is 2.02% for the bank, including SMA and NPA together is just 2.02%. The stress asset is also on a downward trajectory. 218 crores is where we stand today. Along with the GNPA, the stress number is just 1.14%. Let me also tell you this standard restructured advances are also covered, which was contracted during the COVID period, are also covered to an extent of 250 crores of provision. Right? And that 250 crores of provision we have not returned back. We are maintaining it and we hope to adjust it against the expected credit loss when that kicks in or kicks in on the 1st of April 27. So our calculation shows that as on 31-3-26, the change in norms from current IRAC to new ECL, which, like I said, will kick in on 1st of April, should have a 279 crores impact. So 250 crores of provision that we hold in the book, COVID book, which stands today at 218 and which we hope to taper down further by the 31st of March 27, should largely cushion this impact of ECL, additional ECL requirement. Of course, RBI has also come out with the LCR requirements. I think it is going to benefit us to the extent of about 4%. And on the key ratios, the cost of deposits has, quarter on quarter, sequentially has moved down from 5.83% to 5.71. So some of our earlier higher priced deposits that we have contracted is getting repriced and that is having a bit of a positive impact. It has come down while the yield on advances is down only 6 basis, which is holding on. And that is one of the reasons why the core business is actually kind of giving us the kind of profit that the bank has delivered for quarter four. So the NIM is at 4.18% as a consequence, and it is up sequentially for 4.04%, and NIM for the overall year is at 3.98%. So the capital adequacy is 33.73 again, thanks to the fact that our risk-weighted assets are just about 30,000 crores, thanks to a large amount of gold loan portfolio, our capital adequacy is at 33.73%. Cost income ratio contained at 44.80% despite the fact that the entire PBI of 14.80 crores that we should have accounted for in FY 27, we accounted for in its entirety in quarter four of FY26. So, credit cost is under control, and of course, during the year, we have also opened 44 branches. This is one thing we have not been able to deliver as per our commitment. We did promise to the investor community that we will open 50 branches in FY26. We have been able to open only 44 branches. 15 of them have been opened outside the state of Tamil Nadu. So 30% or one third of the branches are outside the state of Tamil Nadu. 7 branches are also in the process being opened, but we slipped beyond the 30. I mean, it has gone beyond the 31st of March 26. So next impact is we have been able to open only 44 branches. So, and the other the structural changes that we have brought in the branch openings, we are now deploying the branch managers in advance to drive to local market penetration and business development. So the structural changes that we have brought in there has also seen the business for the new branches opened actually move up significantly. In FY25, the new branch in on an annualized manner, on an annualized basis, the business for new branch was just about 19.57 crores in FY25. We have, because of structural changes and posting, branch managers choosing the centers carefully, we have been able to deliver in FY26 per branch business of 40.16 crores. So the new branches opened, since this thing has now started contributing significantly in FY26, it has contributed 15% to the incremental growth. And the digitization drive, I think I've spoken extensively on whatever we are trying to do on the digital front, some complete transformation we are trying to bring in. And that's also having a salutary impact in releasing bandwidth in the branches. And one of the parameters we have mentioned here, the transaction count. In FY25, our branches across the counter did 2.64 crores. 26.3 million transactions across the counter, FY25. Even after increasing the number from 578 branches to 622 branches, that is 44 branches, incremental opening 44 branches, this count, this transaction, the manual transaction count across the counter and the branches have come down from 26.3 million to 24.10 million. So that's something that will eventually release, is releasing bandwidth for further growth. So the modernization is also underway, and we have taken a lot of HR initiatives, and during that, it's all summarized, it's all converging into business growth, and we are happy to say that the FY26 has been clearly a year of reckoning, and we have we stand today facing FY27 with much greater confidence in April of 26. Today we are in a much, much stronger position and stronger to face the coming year. Yeah, I think I'll stop here. And we will open ourselves to question and answers. Like I said, my CFO is here, my executive director is here, my CFO is here, my head of resource mobilization deposits here, and also my head of credit is also here. And we are now open to questions from you, if any. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Our first question comes from the line of Dingat Haria from Green Edge Wealth. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity and congratulations, sir. You know, under promise and over deliver continues even in this quarter more strongly. So congratulations, sir.
Thank you.
So three questions from my side. So first is you said we are on a very strong footing for FY27. Would you like to guide anything in terms of the loan book growth for this year? Because I think the macros have turned a little bit sour because of the war in Middle East.
Yes. Despite that, West Asia crisis, the U.S. tariff is still to completely bear out. What we are stating for FY27, as you just mentioned, that we would like to understate and overperform, or underguide and overperform. I think we'll continue that. But despite that, we are reaching out a tad higher. On the deposit trend, we are saying that in FY27, we will grow at least 1% higher than what we did in FY26.
Okay. So, sir, you are saying credit growth will be at least as much as what we saw this year, like FY26, the loan growth?
Yes. I'm coming to that. So, I think that we should be in the 16% kind of number for deposit growth. And the advances that we did of 20% is something that we will defend in the current year as well.
Right, sir. So that's great to know. The second question is that, see, gold loans was your Dhurandhar for last year, right? Gold loans was something which helped us a lot. What will be the Dhurandhar for FY27? Will it again be gold loans or you see some other, segments also?
Now we are having our Dhurandhar 2 also coming up. I think that is where, if you look at, I've also showcased that our MSME has also been giving a good ROA. I think we have put it for the first time we are looking at, we will give more granular data on the profitability parameters of specific portfolios, going forward in the next quarter onwards. But this time we have made an attempt. And our MSME, like I said, grew 14.88% year on year. Right? And the ROA there, the yield is at 10.52%. So this is one portfolio we will be looking to cushion the impact of gold loan, slowing down on the gold loan growth. And like I said initially, that in the first quarter, we did, there was an actual degrowth. So it is from the quarter two started picking up, the quarter two, quarter three, and now quarter four, we ended up with 14.88%. And this is something that you will see. This is a story you need to watch for FY27, the MSME space. We are putting our systems in place. Your loan management system, CMCs, the credit management centers are in place. The loan management system went live. I think the phase one is been done. And phase two, we should be doing it in the first quarter. We should get the phase two also done. Which means, to answer you, Dhurandhar 2 is going to be MSME.
Right. So brilliant. Very good to hear that. Sir, all the best. And, last question is one data point that in the last quarter in our retail, we had 6,700 crores of gold loans. What would that number be for this quarter?
You have the gold loan number?
Yeah. Sir, I see you've given very good disclosures on gold loan, but just this breakup between retail and agri gold loan.
We'll add that also next time. In fact, we wanted to tell the world that, the gold loan portfolio is, in fact, our 6,500, right?
No, sir, it was great you put on disclosure that you are setting up some, auctioning centers in case there is a price fall and, the overall LTV. So
we are taking all the countermeasures in advance. So we want to be prepared because we did see a slight, price coming down, as a consequence of the initial stage of the war. So we want to be fully prepared. We have put in place systems where, margin calls can be had. We are, in a centralized call center. We are also putting, we are looking at creating asset resolution branches specifically in addition to the normal recovery that happens across, also to tackle the gold loan delinquency. Let me also tell you on the gold loan, we have the portfolio LTV, I think if you have seen it, I think I did mention, is only 53.25%.
Yes, sir. It's there in the slide. I've seen. I've seen.
Yes, yes, yes. And to answer you on the retail, it is 6,507 crores.
Yes, sir. Sir, and housing was 4,000 last quarter. That would have also grown, right, this quarter?
No, housing loan has not. In fact, our housing loan disbursements, sanctions have crossed 22%. So there is always a lag between the sanctions and disbursements. While the sanctions have gone up, the housing loan portfolio itself is slightly degrown from last time.
Okay, sir. Yeah, sir, and I think the retail gold loan portfolio has also degrown, right? It was, 6,700 crores last quarter. It is 6,500 crores this quarter, right? So it has degrown by 200
crores. I'll tell you, the reason is that, RBI had come out with the regulation saying that, we have a sizable gold loan portfolio. You look at, if you look at the slide, 24,790 crores of gold loan portfolio, and I just mentioned that retail is 6,500. So the rest remaining is about 18,000 plus is agri gold loans.
Right.
RBI came out with a directive that, up to 2 lakh, you cannot get collateral. So there was a shift from agri gold loans to retail loans in the third quarter. But subsequently, RBI came and clarified that if you are taking it on a voluntary basis, you can take it from farmers also for agri-golden purposes, agri-purposes, right?
So,
in quarter three, we had an increase in the retail gold, and that has been somewhere replaced by agri-golden in quarter four. So, both are now, with agri-golden growing faster than your retail gold loan. Yeah.
Perfect. Okay. And sir, now we can grow along with everyone else, right? When the gold loan keeps growing, we have grown, but just this reclassification bit created some confusion.
As a portfolio, we don't. I mean, from your perspective, investor perspective, the color of the loan doesn't matter. Whether you calling an agri gold loan or whether we call it a retail gold loan, it is giving us the 10.11% is the combined yield.
Right. Perfect, sir. Thank you so much. Wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Varun from Share India Securities. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir, and congratulations once again on your superb set of numbers. Your company has been delivering quarter on quarter, and you have set a new benchmark, in fact, a benchmark for yourself itself. So can you throw some light on the slippages number? No doubt it's down on a year-on-year basis around 31%. I was just looking at the bifurcation. The slippages in agri portfolio have actually gone up to around 19 crores. So what is the reason for this? If you can just throw some light on this. And also you were highlighting that your home loan portfolio has degrown from last time. So can you just put a number? How much has it degrown?
What is the second question?
Home loan, it has
degrown. Home loan, housing portfolio has degrown, right?
Yes. Coming back to the first one, your slippage, right?
Yes, sir.
Slippage. Where is it gone? This is your new one that was recognized, no?
Yeah.
You want to say that?
Yeah, in fact, the slippage in agri, this is agri processing unit. And there was a single account totaling 16 crores. And that has resulted in 19 crores. And let me also tell you, that's a clear visibility on the recovery of that account. And I think most probably by when we reassemble for the next quarter, this would have been recovered.
Let me also add to that from a record of recovery angle, this is a standard asset.
Okay.
The asset is being serviced. But we, as part of our cleanup, because, the activity has stopped, we have, even though it's a standard asset, we have actually taken a call to make it NPA.
Downgraded it, because we have also checked
so that we can move ahead with the resolution of it in the first quarter.
The GST turnover. Although RBI is not asking us to go that far. A matter of abundant precaution, we have gone that far and also declassified it as
Okay.
And this property will be reserved.
So, what are you expecting a recovery till?
I think
you said next quarter when we meet we'll expect some recovery, right?
Yeah, ongoing quarter. We are talking about quarter one of FY27.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. And what is the next question?
So what about the housing loan portfolio that has been given?
Home loan.
How much is this?
Like I said,
home loan. Yes.
Home loan is something that we are focusing. We are focusing back. I think we started the focus back in quarter four. Like I said, the sanctions have actually moved up 22%. But for that to get translated into actual disbursements, I think you will see this going forward. Gold loan, the other aspect of gold loan is from an ROA perspective, it just delivers 1.01 ROA. So, from a priority angle, this has taken a little bit of lower priority, but we are in the game to push this up.
Okay, sir. Okay. One last question I just wanted to ask you, sir. I mean, just as you said that you had an aim of 50 branches for FY26, but you have opened IITs around 44. So what could be the branch addition number for FY27, sir, as you go ahead?
We are proposing 60 branches in FY27. Okay. Hopefully in FY27 April. Sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Right? FY27 April, when I take this call again, hopefully we should have met that. You know, FY26 is one of the only, perhaps the only miss that we had is that we promised 50 branches to ourselves and we were able to open only 44. For FY27, we are actually promising 60.
Okay. Great, sir. Thank you for giving that number, sir. And once again, thanks a lot for giving me a chance to ask you a question and best of luck for your future, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Lakshmi Narayan from Tunga Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. A few questions. So there has been a write-off of close to 150 crores this year. Just want to know across how many accounts is this? And does this include the Andhra account, which was more than 125, 130 crore NPA? And second question is that there is in the other segment,
what is
the
can you repeat that? I think you
are right. How many of
the... I think we had two rounds of write-offs, right? Okay. And I think first was in the quarter two and the second was in this quarter four. Where is that? One sec. I'll just get you that. And let me tell you, the Andhra account that you are... I don't know if I'm very good with Andhra account, but let me tell you, Andhra account is not part of that that write-off. Yeah, I got it. Yeah, yes. So we have, in fact, if you look at it, we have written off 149.69. It is not part of it. The one you are referring to. It is a series of accounts. It has been written off in two lots. Like I said, 66 crores in quarter two and 83 in quarter four. And, of course, I must admit that, you know, that write-off has helped us reduce it. It's part of the balance sheet management that any bank does. But going beyond that, if you look at it, your cash recovery from upgradation is 103 crores. If I take you to my slide number 22, 97 plus 6, 103 crores, against a fresh addition of 85. So there is an actual reduction, an absolute amount reduction in the NPA itself, despite the write-off that you mentioned of 149. So come back, that Andhra account is not there.
In the GNPA of around 198 crores in the others, how is it concentrated? Is it that that Andhra account is actually part of this?
Yes, you're right.
Help me with the concentration of this 198. Is it that two or three accounts are more than 150 crores and the balance is less?
No, I think it is one account with 164 crores. And then a small number of the residual amounts are still there in the earlier resolutions that have happened, so which are undergoing resolutions now. I think a couple of them are already in the NCLT also.
Got it. Sir, I think in previous calls, I mean, if I had heard right, you alluded that that could be a write-back of some of these NPAs because the collection would be strong. So is it on track or how are you thinking about these large GNPAs? Is there a possibility of write-back?
If you look at my credit cost, right? Where is my credit cost? You know, my credit cost is practically not there, right? The reason for that is the credit cost, which I mentioned that 85 crores of slippage happened, the credit cost or the provision cost of that has been largely been met by the recoveries being happening. So that is the reason why credit cost is low. This large account that you mentioned, hopefully, we are hoping that this gets resolved this year. What is the other question you have? Sorry.
No, I was just asking if for the write back, do you expect any full recovery of this?
You will notice some interesting amount coming back if our luck holds. You know, some of these items, you really need luck. You know, it is particularly when the legal system in the country takes, the kind of time it does. So hopefully we should be able to tackle it this year.
Got it. Sir, and one question on gold loan. I just want to understand what is the LTV at origination? Because I see that there are different LTVs for different classes of loan seekers. I just want to understand what is the gold loan LTV at origination blended. And second, when you actually do it, do you actually include the interest accrued when you actually calculate the LTV? Because these are all bullet payments, I understand. So how does that work?
The LTV that you see in the slide is not the principal LTV. It is the principal, the dues on that particular day, which is principal plus interest. Okay, that is the first clarification I want to give you. And the normal LTV is 75% that you give, and we have a certain different kind of calculation. It is actually not on the market market price.
Hardly talks about only consumption LTV.
Right, and therefore that is the reason. Our calculation of LTV is not strictly in comparison to what the market does. Because, we have built in a certain system where cushions are available. I think if you go to slide number, where is the gold loan slide? Where is it? Yeah, you see the gross weight, you see the net weight, right?
Mm-hmm.
37.38 tons of gross weight portfolio we have, gold loan is covered by 37.38 of tons, right, and the net weight is 34.19, which is 9.3% lower. The LTV is not on the gross weight that we calculate, it is on the net weight, and it is 70%. You get it? That is one of the reasons why, despite, the gold prices being where it is, our portfolio is able to sustain a 25% reduction.
Got it. Is it safe to assume that at origination the same number is there? Like, somebody is taking gold loan today, is that number between around 54% to 56%?
No. That will be in the 75% to 75%. 75%, right? And it varies. For example, some of the gold loan will be slightly higher, and the LTV is actually calculated on the maturity value, not on the rate. Not under principal. You get it? No.
Including interest on maturity.
I hope I don't know whether I've made myself answer.
No. I think my question is that my question is what is the LTV at origination now? Because this is at the blended book you're giving.
Yeah.
But what is the standard LTV? Because I understand even the LTV. Yeah.
One, let me tell you what you are seeing here is a blended rate, which has in some sense perhaps will not have a much of a meaning when there is a reduction price. I am not saying that. I am talking about the LTV that we say it is 75% and 80% in some cases. Is not the LTV, is not the principal LTV, it is the LTV at maturity. Let me give you an example. If you are talking in terms of, 80% LTV, in some cases we actually give 80% LTV also, and it is a one-year loan, the 80% LTV is what is the amount he has to pay after 1 year, and is based on what he has to pay after 1 year. For example, if it is a 10%, your LTV, the current LTV at which you give today the loan could be 72%.
Okay.
But including interest, it become 80%, no?
Correct.
So, yeah, LTV is always calculated on the maturity. If it is 6 months, the LTV will be slightly higher. If it is 1 year, the LTV will be lower. And that is one of the reasons why we are able to sustain a 25% sensitivity. Other banks, which is on the rate, the day it is given, and then the interest is added to that. We add the interest to arrive at the LTV. Let me put it that way. Okay.
Got it, sir. And as the other participant mentioned, maybe in the next time you can actually give the retail loan split across segments and also gold loan. Split across various things like that.
I think more and more transparent. I think we'll continuously do that.
Sir, and do you actually track your market share growth across branches and across your regions? What has been your market share growth in terms of assets and liabilities?
We do track it now. In fact, not only track it, it has now become a component of the performance-based incentive.
Okay.
I did mention earlier that we gave a 49 gross performance-based incentive, which we have absorbed this year in quarter four, which if we had not absorbed, we had gone by earlier practices, it would have been higher, the cost would have been higher. That PBA component that we calculate also has a component of the local growth. Local market growth vis-a-vis my branch. So now we have started tracking what is the growth in the branch versus what is the growth the industry has in the same location.
Got it. Sir, on the technology spend, can you just help me understand how much you have spent in technology last year and how much you intend to spend in this year and how much you are capitalizing and how much you are expensing?
My technology spend this year is 15.80% higher. You have the exact number. Let me also tell you that technology spent in the year will not give a proper reflection because many of these are milestone payments and these are, happening. I can tell you that, despite that, 15.80% our spend has been higher than last year.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Dingat Haria. Please go ahead.
Sir. Thank you for the opportunity again. This question was mainly again on gold loans that really have 11% yield, right, which are slightly better than agri gold loan. Is that correct?
Correct. Your retail gold loan, the rate of interest is better than the agri gold loan.
Right. Sir, and in all the new branches, we are offering that, right? So if, there is no branch where gold loan product is not offered, right? We are well spread across our branches.
Our intention is to offer it across all the branches, but some of the branches in the metro, etc., may not have much of a demand for it, but the product is on offer across.
Okay, sir. Thank you. Sir, and lastly, on the margins, we have had a sharp, very good improvement. Like first two quarters, the margins were flat or struggling because, the whole interest rate cycle was against us.
Yeah.
This quarter especially has been very strong. Is this quarter margin sustainable or you feel that, it depends on macros and how the deposit rate?
It depends on various factors. You did mention macros will have an impact on it, and this time because the loan growth was good,
There has been a movement, you know, we had some surplus cash which was going at lower, you know, lower yield. That has moved into a higher yield loan portfolio. So that has added, you know, so the pull-up has come from the growth in the advances portfolio. And also simultaneously some of the high-priced the deposits we have taken is getting repriced, you know, so we have got the benefit of that. And if you ask me whether this will sustain, at this kind of level it's going to be very difficult to sustain, but still we believe we'll be able to defend 3.90 to 4% NIM.
Okay, okay, sir. Okay, I think, sir, that is good for today. I could ask a lot of questions. Thank you so much and all the best.
Yeah, thank you.
Participants, please restrict yourselves to two questions. If you have any more questions, kindly rejoin the queue. The next question comes from the line of Parth Gutka from 360 One Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Thanks a lot for the opportunity. So my first question is, what proportion of your deposits are yet to reprice?
I think by the first quarter, our original high would what we have taken at 8% will be fully repriced. But having said that, you know, deposit is a challenge for all the across the industry. Significant impact of that repricing may not accrue in the first quarter. So that is what we anticipate because to keep the advances machine running, we have to, we'll have to increasingly focus on the resource mobilization. And given the challenges that the industry has, we don't expect that pricing benefit to really accrue to us in this quarter. Which means that we may have to continue contracting term deposits.
Okay, sir. Fair enough. And my second question was, sir, when I look at your investments to NGTL ratio, it has come down from 32% to 25%, and still, yes, you know, there is some scope to reduce that further. So
yeah,
are we thinking on that line, that can move from investments, some funds from investments?
We will always like to keep a cushion for contingencies that is there. I think that is something that in terms of we do to the core and borrow against that. The fact that it has reduced from 32% to 25%, as you just mentioned, is one of the factors that has helped us, you know, drive the profits up. We will certainly continue to maintain a reasonably good cushion there, and that is where this focus is back on the deposits. And like I said, 16% the deposit growth for the year is something that we are committed to.
Okay, fine. Thanks a lot, sir.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Pramukh from My Invest Buddy. Please go ahead.
Hello. Congratulations on the nice set of numbers.
Thank you.
I wanted to ask you about the succession planning for the next one, right? Like, how are you taking care of that? And secondly, yes. So,
yeah, I'm sorry, I didn't get that. Succession planning where? Are you talking in terms of HR succession planning or?
The next CEO, right? Like, who will be the next CEO and things like that. Like, do we have a plan in place for that?
Absolutely, there is a plan.
If you're talking in terms of a succession planning, we have a detailed succession planning going to the next 4-5 years.
Okay. That's right. And another thing is about cyber security, right? So, there is Claude Mythos coming up, and there was an internal meeting as well. So, is that covered? Like, we are safe on that, right?
I think cyber security, as the investments in IT and automation goes up, we have to be wary of cyber fraud, cyber attacks, etc. And that is something that this bank is investing in preventing. And we have a 24/7 war room looking at this aspect. And we have just got ourselves a call center, AI-based call center, and we have also contracted with one of the best names in the world, I think largest names in the world, in terms of supporting us for cyber from a cyber security angle. So we are on the job there. I think we are fully alive to it. There is a repeated audit of our own system to see that they are foolproof. Apart from that, 24/7, such frauds and attacks are being watched on by us.
Got it, sir. Thank you so much. Thanks. Congratulations again on the great set of numbers.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Parth from ICICI Direct. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir, and thanks for the opportunity. Sir, I had one data-giving question. So I wanted to ask you, in your advances mix, what is the difference between EBLR, MCLR and repo linked? Can I get the number?
MCLR, PLR and you have a... What is a portfolio linked to MCLR and portfolio linked to repo, right? Repo linked.
Yes.
External benchmark rate and the internal. I think it is 50-50.
Basically, because I was seeing your advances yield, so it has declined by 10 basis points, right? And the rate cut was around 125 basis points. Just I want to know the reason and why it was so low.
You don't hold me to this, okay? I tell you, the rate cut is actually passed on to the MSME segment. The yield has come down. But where we have, prevented from passing on, or rather repriced the rate of interest, or increased the rate of interest in the consumption gold loans.
Okay.
So, though it is linked to MCLR, right? Though it's linked to MCLR, we have, strategically been looking at it, pricing it, slightly better. So that, the overall yield remains at the appropriate band.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Yeah.
The next question comes from the line of Darshan Devra from Indvest Group. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity and firstly, congratulations on a great set of results. Secondly, also... appreciate the higher disclosure that you all have started from this quarter, especially the segment-wise ROA. Firstly, I wanted to ask you, you had mentioned the ROA on gold loans. I missed that figure. Can you just repeat it?
I think it is 2. What is it? One second, I'll give you the number. I thought this was there in the slide, but it's now I see it is missing. But I'll just give you that, 2.0 or 2.10 or something, no? It is 2.05.
Okay. So now, given that we're sort of stepping on the accelerator when it comes to MSME growth, which I see is at 2.6% ROA, what would you mean? What should we assume as the ROA target for FY27?
ROA target for FY27. Incidentally, MSME advances, once you start expanding the MSME advances, you may have to cannibalize a bit of your ROA. I think that's something that we are prepared to do that because, the 10.52% yield as we expand the portfolio is going to be difficult to be defended. So ROA in MSME advances from 2.58 that we have showcased is going to come down. It's certainly going to come down from an overall perspective, I'm talking about, retail, once you start pushing the housing loan, where the ROA is sort of not mentioned here, we will give more details of that from next quarter onwards, is that 1.01%. So when you start pushing, various components of the advances, the ROA will slightly get moderated, but we are still looking at a 1.9 to 2% kind of ROA for FY27. That's
okay. And from an ROE point of view, I mean, assuming that our leverage goes up a little bit.
Going to go up, profits also hopefully should move up. But 15%, 15.03 is what we did for this quarter. But I think we should be looking at, you know, defending 14 to 15% for FY27.
Okay. ROE, you think around 15%, right?
14 to 15% in that sort of bracket.
Okay. Then okay, and
better what we say, right?
Okay. No, that is understood. In terms of your CASA, again, you know, great progress there. I see it's gone from 26% in FY25 to 28%. Do we have a target internally that we are trying to hit in terms of CASA ratio?
We do have a target, but that's a slightly longest target, and I don't think I should be looking at. But let me also tell you this, the number that we have given, 28.14%. 28.14% is something that we will see moving up.
Okay, so that's a great step. And last question, cost to income, I understand that you have preponed certain expenses that you would typically book in Q1. But what can we assume? I'm not asking for FY27, I'm just saying long term. Like say 2-3 years down the road, as the you know the initiatives you've taken in terms of you know the state group processing, you know the central processing units, etc. What do we see our cost to income trending towards?
No, I've repeatedly said that we have committed because we have only taken part of your expenses in IT expenses, right? And we also are looking at opening more branches and refurbishing some of the branches. But despite all that, you know, even after all that, what we have stated is that the cost to income ratio will remain below 50%. I think that's what we have committed to. Committed to my board, and you know, when I'm asking for refurbishment of some of the branches, which will entail cost. And make it modern, some of the branches, so that it gets focused on resource mobilization. So there will be some cost coming up, and it will be spread over maybe 27 and 28. But like I said, we are committed to keep it below 50%, and should be in the 46-47% side. At least you know.
Okay, I think right now it's around that 44 to 46%, around 45% now. So you're saying in that. Slightly higher than the current.
Higher. Certainly, it's well below 50%. That's our commitment.
Okay. Great. Really appreciate the results and the commentary and the guidance. And wish you and your team the best of luck for FY27.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Saket Kapoor from Kapoor Company. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Namaskar, sir. Hope I'm audible.
Yeah.
Thank you, sir, first of all, for the opportunity, and congratulations to the team. With the one-off which you have earlier explained, our numbers are much higher, our operating profits are much higher than what has been reported. But as per the, if I may conclude to what our earlier speaker and your answers being, so we are looking at moderation in both ROA and NIMs going forward for FY26-27. So this 500 crore plus operating profit on a quarterly basis, do we have the set of levers that we can defend this, or this is this will be tad lower since the other parameters are going to be trending lower?
The 500 crores of operating profit, I think we did at 522, right?
Yes, sir.
And are you suggesting that this will be lower?
Sir, I am only asking you that since you are mentioning that our NIMs and ROA the averages would be lower than what we have posted for the current quarter. So in that trajectory, how confident are we that this is a new benchmark on a quarterly basis on the operating profit number, if I'm correct? Correct me there, sir.
Operating profit will certainly be defended.
This number will be defended even for Q1 and sequential also.
Yes.
Okay, that understanding can be taken. And sir, secondly, if you could just give us some understanding how the nature of the bid pipelines you have, especially I think so you are putting the thrust on the MSME that will lead the growth levers going ahead. So if you could just give us some colors on what the bid pipelines are currently. And sir, taking into account again the inflationary trends because of the higher crude prices, what do you think, sir, currently with the higher GSEC rates, how will the banking space be affected going ahead because of these higher, because of rates trending higher only?
Yeah, I think, see, rate seems to be hardening in the system. You have seen the yield actually go up, 10-year yield, GSEC yield going up as far as 7.14%. And of course, it has retraced some of its steps. That's a different. We are seeing a bit of hardening here. I think we'll have to look at how the inflation works going forward, particularly after the recession crisis and the impact of the energy, enhanced energy prices on the ecosystem, you know, the raw materials, etc. So there could be a bit of hardening here. And when the inflation is taken, the nominal GDP growth is something that we need to watch. And that's going to have a direct impact on the growth in the banking industry as well. So to that extent, I don't know, maybe we can look at a slight improvement in the growth rate.
So didn't get your last point. We are looking at?
I'm saying that the nominal GDP almost mirrors the nominal GDP growth. It's the real GDP plus your inflation. If the inflation is going to pick up a bit, we can see the growth in the system going up, moderated to the extent of recession crisis.
Okay, so when we have factored this 20% advance growth,
two questions.
Yes, I'm just...
The next question...
Let me tell you why we are talking about 20%. See, this is not a State Bank of India or an HDFC bank speaking, you know. When they look in terms of a growth, they will have to factor in the macroeconomic, you know, need and requirements, etc. We are still at a phase where our own growth will not impact significantly the competition around. So we can still knock that extra growth away from the others. That is where our confidence for a 20% growth comes in. It is not just because the macroeconomic parameters will give you that growth or the leg up. It is because we are still small.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Sarvesh Gupta from Maximal Capital. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir, and congratulations on a good set of numbers. Sir, first question is on your advances growth guidance. So, you know, if you look at the past in TMD, we have had many years of, 8 to 10% sort of a growth. This year, of course, we have done a very good job on that. But if I look at the overall advances growth, roughly around 72% has come from gold loans. Now, this also has been a year where, you know, gold loan prices have gone up so much. So, assuming, let's say, gold prices don't increase from here on, then, you know, what kind of growth rate can we assume? Because then we will have to only grow by tonnage. So, what can be the realistic growth in such a scenario where gold prices don't go up as much as, like, in FY26, they went so much higher?
You are right that FY26 the advance growth has been to a very large extent driven by the gold loan. I think that's the, but if you look at carefully, the MSME space, which actually degrew in quarter one, we ended up with a 15% growth in MSME. Now I can tell you that the MSME the machine that we have put in place is beginning to fire. So whatever gold loan degrowth or the moderation in the, I don't expect a degrowth here, but the moderation in the growth that will happen once the your gold loan prices stabilize we are confident that can be made up through improvement in the MSME growth. And we are also looking at other aspects, particularly, you know, the car loan, which is beginning to make some headway. The housing loan is beginning to climb back. You know, there are other elements that is also beginning to fire, which we should which should help us in sort of moderating, take over some of the moderation that the gold loan might bring about. Yeah.
Okay. So this net weight of 34 tons, so how has that grown in the last 1 year?
I think, how much has it grown? We have not done any year. See, we just quickly made a snapshot of it. Then we'll have to look at, how it is moving. This is the first time we have actually got these numbers out. Now we will start tracking on a net weight basis also.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Suli S. Nair, the Managing Director from Tamil Nadu Mercantile Bank, for their closing remarks.
Yeah, thank you, and thank you all for joining this con call. Like I said, FY26 has been a year of reckoning for us, and we have consistently tried to deliver much more than what we promised, I think, and that's something that we are aiming to do in FY27 also. FY27, we are facing with much more, as a bank, much more, I would say, confidently, because the many of the initiatives that we have taken, I think quite a bit of initiatives that we have taken, the HR initiative, a complete transformation from a legacy-based, IBA-based structure, pay structure into a CTC-based pay structure, 83% is on CTC now. The PBI has been completely revamped. The PBI is the performance-based incentive is today looking at growth as the only driver for the incentive. There's a lot of automation that has happened. The LMS loan management system, phase one has gone live. The digital engagement hub, we are revamping. Quite a bit of action is happening on the IT space. And all these has resulted in unleashing some of the productive energy, productive gains that is resulting in the number that you saw in FY26. And that is giving us the confidence to face FY27 much more confidently. And 6 to 9 months, we hope some of these initiatives, all the initiatives currently in would have been completed, and the productivity gains as a result of those initiatives will be made available. So FY27, we expect overall to be a better year than FY26. Thank you once again for joining us in this con call. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Tamil Nadu Mercantile Bank Limited, that concludes this conference call. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.